Welcome to the New and Living Way Church, Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His servant, Pastor Olaide Olaniyo. Be blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. You people deserted me today. You ran away before I came. If I need you, I will summon you. Hallelujah. So please don't let him sing. Hallelujah. Can you welcome your neighbor? Can you welcome your neighbor to church? Give your neighbor a sweet compliment. If he's somebody's wife, mind how you say it. So that, like Pastor David said, you don't get a knock. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. I didn't know there's anointed knock. But I've learned something new. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Did your neighbor greet you very well? Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I love you. And I made it from my heart. Did you see their eyes? Did they mean it? Were they saying it with their church eyes? Look into their eyes. Say it again, I love you from my heart. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. We should be free to love. The world has turned love into something sensual. It just means I desire the your prosperity. I'm looking out for you, and I desire the best for you. Really, that's what it means. Your welfare is my joy. And when Christ fills your heart, you have love shed abroad. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. It said, from verse 1, it said, ever been justified by faith, we have peace with God, and have access through Jesus Christ of our Lord, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we rejoice also in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. Patient what? Experience. Experience hope. And hope maketh not what? Ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So, when I say I love you, even to a lady, it's not... Now, you must be very, very wise. You understand it? Because not everybody is of faith. And not everybody who is of faith has their mind renewed. Do you understand it? So don't go saying everybody loving spree. Are you understanding it? Let you get. Are you understanding? But the Lord will heal the world. Are you understanding? We will all be healed. So that when I say I love you, you are not thinking sensually. You understand? You're not thinking sensually. You're not thinking sensually. Hallelujah. We've so fallen. Man has what? So fallen. A guy say love you. Like the next thing I think unproposed to propose. You see, sorry, we'll still go into the word. There are certain things. We have a couple of young people here. Don't be love starved. Do you understand? Such that the first person to say I love you, hey, you say you love me, you can't sleep again. He loves you. That's good. You should be a love being. Get comfortable with being loved. Are you understanding? Get comfortable with what? Being loved. So you not see it as something out of the box. Something special. I love you. Yes. God loves me. I'm love deserving. Do you understand? It doesn't change anything. It doesn't make you special. It doesn't make you the significant one. It doesn't make you anything. Do you understand it? Love is should be what we communicate every day of our lives. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But Satan has done a bad work. A very, very bad work. A very, very bad work. Some ladies, I'm sorry, I'm not picking on ladies, but maybe because some ladies, even if you tell them you love them, they can't believe it. Because they just believe that nobody truly loves anybody. There's always an ulterior. There's always something. Now, I'm not saying you should be naive. I'm not saying you should be undiscerning. But you should understand true love exists. I mean, genuine love, pure, does exist. It exists in God. And it's something that you should not be hesitant to communicate. Sincere, pure, unfeigned. Are you understand? Unfeigned. Somebody's afraid to check out, so that they won't say, that thing is a work that Satan did. Where fellowship, where communion ought to be without any ulterior motives, because the society is so broken. You think not even twice, you think five times of your action, because people, meanings will be read to it. Something that is sincere, pure. Bible says something, to the pure, all things are pure. To the defiled and unbelieving, all things are, even their own thoughts are defiled. Even their own thoughts are defiled. So, innocent gestures. Because they don't believe it can ever be pure from a pure heart. You mean? Yes, I mean. Are you understanding? Pure love. Pure. That flows from the righteousness of God. That is desiring of your good, your welfare, without expecting anything in return. And without having a stake in it. Hallelujah. I know the world is not there yet. But the word is building a community of believers who will grow out of the world and then have an economy of faith in the world that is governed by the laws of the Spirit. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see, many of the things that we see around is not the way things ought to be. There is no pure brother-to-sister relationship. No pure sister-to-sister relationship. Everybody is suspecting something. Everybody is suspicious of the other person. And suspicion is not a fruit of the Spirit. Suspicion is not discernment. Suspicion is a seed of the evil one. Suspicion is what? You know, some people. Let me just pray. Father, bless us today. Take hold of my thoughts and lead me in the way of your Spirit. Let me serve your will and your will alone in the name of Jesus. You see, I say suspicion is not a fruit of the Spirit. Suspicion is not a fruit of the Spirit. Suspicion is not a fruit of the Spirit. There are thoughts that come to your mind that you ought to bind and reject. Some people have been so, just like worry and anxiety, they have been so raised with suspicion. Everything has an ulterior motive. Every gift, there's a suspicion. You read meaning. And you know what? Demons love that kind of heart because they'll be able to leverage on things. To afflict, to use things that are innocent to do things that are disastrous. To justify your suspicion. Because whatsoever you pay attention to gets bigger. It grows. And when some people get into faith, that thing is not removed. That thing is not what? It's not removed. And a person can grow into it. Even till old age. One of the admonition of Paul to elderly women in the book of Titus chapter 2 is that they should not be false accusers. They should not be what? They should not be false accusers. What's false accusers? That's accusation arisen out of suspicion. Because you think of somebody, you think of something, and you legitimately have reasons. Things. 2 Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse what is that? 3. Age women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers. Suspicion is an accusation is an accusation that is without substance. An accusation that a gesture is not innocent, has an ulterior motive. And so, when that accusation is there, you look for something to justify it. You look for something to justify it. You look for something to justify it. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a what? As against suspicion, trust that is born out of love should flow from the heart. Say trust. Trust. You see, one of the things, so I'm just talking about suspicion and I trust God that I'll be able to go in. One of the things that suspicion, that you don't know about suspicion flows out of self-preservation. Suspicion what? Suspicion flows out of self-preservation. You want to outsmart other persons so that they don't take advantage of you. That's why you go ahead to preempt what things they could do. But you don't know it's a wisdom that flows from self, flesh. That's why you cannot obey God blindly by faith. Ariama Boni, because somewhere, self has been so magnified that it has been so empowered to preserve itself. It cannot go, walk to God blindly. Walk with God blindly. It must see, must calculate. You must persuade it that there is no hurt there. But that's not how to live by faith. I love what, is it Job that said, though he slay me, I will yet trust him. For he's the light of my countenance. He said, though he slay me. So, because if you don't, they will lead in some places. Is today like the green pastures. Tomorrow is the valley of the shadow of death. If you are suspicious and you have not come into trust, you jareba from the shepherd and run, walk your own way. But we must come to the place where we have come to total trust and surrender, not only to God, but also in men. And I say that again, so that you don't know, you know I am not making mistakes. You say you trust God only, the God that you don't see, yet men that you see, you don't trust. You see, they are deceiving yourself. You are what? Because how God trains you to trust him only is that he gives you trust in men. Now, trust in man is not reliance on men. Are you understand what I'm saying? You are not making men your confidence. Are you understand what I'm saying? That's not the context in which I am saying it. Is that I will not fear what man can do to me. The reason you are suspicious, you are still afraid what man can do to you. Some of us, the reason we are not free in church, suspicion. When they say guard your heart with all diligence, out of it for you, it's not guard your heart from brethren. It's guard your heart from the world. It's things that offend. And guard your heart is not preserve your life. Guard your heart is what? It's not preserve your life. Some wisdom is not from above. We must know how to jettison them. Some wisdom, what? You look wise, but you lose life. You never appreciate in life. Think the best of everybody. Love believes all things. Opeth all things. Believes all things. Endureth all things. Expects the best of everybody. If Satan is trying to conceive you, that maybe he has an original motive, what of he is from a pure heart? Believe the best of everybody. Are you understand what I'm saying? Believe the best. Believe the best of everybody. Not for their sake, for your heart's sake. Are you understand what I'm saying? Even if it not turns out to be evil, I will still not stop believing the best of people. Why? It's not for their own sake. It's for my own heart's sake. For my own heart's sake. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm a love being. I don't like a place where love, there's no love. I can't survive in the atmosphere where there's suspicion. It's hostile to the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost self will jump out of the fence because you accuse him. You suspect Holy Ghost. Amen. Say amen. Turn to your neighbor, say again, I love you. Hallelujah. And get used to hearing it. Some people don't hear it often. If nobody's telling you, say, I love myself. God loves me. And I love everybody. If the world is not giving you enough love, you shed it. If the world is not what? Giving it all, you give it. Give it. Give it. Give it. There is so much art around that everybody, you can't give love and you won't find the recipient. Huh? You can what? You can't give love and you won't find the recipient. That's why one of the things that the Holy Ghost shed that brought in the heart is the love of God. And I tell you, you have abundance of it. You just need to yield to the Holy Ghost. You just need to what? Yield to the Holy Ghost. You just need to yield to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a love being. Say, I'm a love being. I walk in love. I talk in love. I give in love. I breathe love. I do love all the days of my life. I'm a love being. I think love. I think the love of God. I'm a love being. That's my assignment. That's my assignment. That's what I'm in. Love. Love. The love of God. Everywhere. In my actions. Everywhere. In my thoughts. The way I think of others is governed by the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? Are you blessed today? Amen. Whew. Now, that's a burden. I feel lighter now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even if people hurt you, don't allow them to overcome your love with hate or bitterness. Overcome it. Some people have experienced hurt in their marriage, and they say, or disappointment. Somebody, Satan orchestrated one son of Belial to show you hell. Show them heaven. Are you understand? Don't be overcome with hate. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've experienced. No, you don't give people what they give you. You give them where you are from. He said that don't render not cursing for cursing, but contrarywise a blessing, for thereunto are ye called. So you give where you are going, not what men give to you. It's Peter. He said, don't render cursing for cursing, nor railing for railing, but contrarywise a blessing, because thereunto ye are called. Do you know what he said to me? Do you know what he did to me? You do to him what Jesus has done to you. Forgive him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Forgive him. Let love. He said, love overcomes a multitude of sin. He said, love, prophecy will fail. Knowledge will cease. He said, but love never faileth. Love never fails. Love never fails. They've hurt you. Love them. Say, so if your enemy thirst, give him drink. If he be naked, clothe him. Say, for in so doing, you heap coals of fire upon his head. It's not a gun. No. In the Bible, coals of fire is purifying. The Lord will purify his mind. And then you win your brother. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You win your brother. So say, let love win. I'm not hearing you, church. Say, let love win. In the home, let love win. In the family, let love win. In the that terrible colleague, let love win. Buy him a gift. But that one who is a buy her a gift. Buy her a gift. I had a practice when I was working. Every end of the year, all my departmental mates, I buy them gifts. I buy a gift for every one of them. It was good working with you this year. Even the times they deny me promotion, I buy every one of them gifts. The year that I was going to go, I bought every one of them gifts. And they were wondering, which kind of person is this? He says, it's only Lady that would do it. Every one of them, from the HOD to the last person, buy every one of them gifts. Thank you. It was nice working with you. Every one of them. My boss will still come to you tomorrow. Till tomorrow, I'm still on the departmental page. I've left there since 2021. I'm still in the departmental WhatsApp group. Everybody that has left the place of work, they have gone. I'm still there. They didn't remove me. I know everything that happens in that department tomorrow. They didn't remove me. I'm still here. Normally, official business, they should even be, some people, before they even leave the organization, they have. what's your blog one? Till tomorrow, I'm still there. Nobody wants. I said, let love lead. Let love win. If they are terrible to you, do them good. Do them good. Do them good. Did anybody ever do it back? No. I wasn't doing it for anybody to do back. And I wasn't doing it for to gain favor. Amen. Love. Don't let the world numb your love sense. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Don't let the world turn you into a bitter, angry, evil person. No. Don't be callous. Don't let your love grow cold. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Don't let what? Your love grow cold. Your love towards God and your love for man. Don't let it go cold. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Amen. 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 If he offends you, do something remarkable. Make sure you overcome that deed, that hurt, that pain with a love commitment. Pray for him. Buy him a gift. Go out of your way to do something that says that love will win in this situation. When you remember this situation, it is love that you remember it for, not hurt, not pain. Whether it be husband, whether it be wife, whether it be... ensure that what? Love wins. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Ensure that what? Love wins. Ensure that love wins. The love that flows from Christ's work inside of the soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we blessed? Tell your neighbor again, I love you. I love you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hey, my daughters, my sisters, you marry loving husbands. Carry. You shouldn't be afraid of marriage. So I'm promising you, the man you marry, oh Jesus of Galilee, you'll be Jesus in the flesh. Yeah. It's good that women experience love. You say, what of men? Oh. Give women love. They will multiply it. It will reach everybody. Because they multiply anything. Are you understanding? They multiply what? Anything you give to them. And that's why Satan used to stage bad people to spread odds so that they will multiply it also. Some Satan's children, God will drive Satan's children away from you. Ah! Because some Satan's children are bad. They have nothing to offer. And all of you do away what they've been hiring you. Or doing your four. No look at Jesu. You will catch fire. And if your heart also has been deceived, you are following them already. Recover by fire. Recover by fire. Yes. Sometimes you need to pray to someone. Yes. Separation. If it breaks, I am the one behind it. I am the one behind it. Yes. Yes. If it breaks, just know that the pastor that prayed, that separated, scattered everything. Pastor said, it will break. And I say, amen. Sorry, sir, Pastor. I discovered some daughters of Zion like bad boys. They think that that's where love is. He said, I don't like you, but that guy, your guest swag. Your guest swag, the way you're a package. You're a boss, my brain. Hey. By the time he land you slap, he go really boss your hair. Calm down. Be calming down. Guys in the church that are being raised by the word are good for you. I tell you the truth. Some people have not known how to be loved. I remember... I don't know. I saw this clip from Judge Jennings. I don't know if some of you, the American judge. And this girl was taking this guy to court because she wants to divorce him because the guy is too good. Doesn't cheat, doesn't smoke, doesn't lie. Say, how can a man just be too good like that? Doesn't beat her? He say. And the judge was like, He said she can't understand why a guy, he said he must be hiding something. It's Satan that did a work. That a woman don't believe he can't be deserving of anything good. What she mean, Kayefi? It is Kayeficious. Hallelujah. You are deserving of love. Say, I'm deserving of love. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Your future is brighter. God will settle you. God will settle you. I'm praying for all my daughters, every one of the children. You don't know I pray for you. Even concerning the natural. So I pray for job. I pray for admission. I pray for marriage. You shouldn't think about it. It's the father's business to think about it for you. Are you understand it? You should just be concerned about following God. The Lord hears my prayer. And he will settle you. Amen. Yes. You just be following God. You just be what? And the Lord said to us, even some widows will marry again. Some widows will marry again. Because not only for the younger ones. Yes. He said a bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. So you think that you're a dry tree. Oh, God has a plan for you. I said God has a plan for you. God will make you whole. One of the things the Lord had been telling us, and we have to get our hearts ready. God is bringing people who you think are broken. God is bringing what? Some people you think that they are too damaged that they should not enter into life. Because if they tell you their history, you yourself say, no, God, we need to be suspicious of this kind of person. I was telling somebody the other time, I said that, you know, especially the church in Nigeria, our theology, God will help us. How many of us know that Kenneth Copeland, Gloria Copeland is the third wife? He made mistakes. Are you understanding? Then he met Jesus. Jesus does not throw away his life because he made mistakes before he met Jesus. Now there's silence in church. No, that doesn't give you license to go and waste your life. Not everybody would have that opportunity. And you, that God is already cutting so that you will not make mistake. Don't go and make mistake and thinking that they're here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? No, but our hearts must be enlarged. That's what I'm saying. Our heart must be what? Enlarged. Otherwise, there are some people, when they are coming to church, you say you have persecuted. If a soul come to church, a bad looper, you will have been the one to kill. He says it's God that brought him so that we can kill him, so that he will not persecute anybody again. Because somewhere, your heart is not large enough to accommodate his coming into light. So some of us, we are not ready for our senators to be born again. No, it's not the same. And they will go to the same heaven you are going to. They will get the same everlasting life if they turn to God genuinely. And then they follow truth. And you know, God wants them to do that. But somewhere, a selfishness inside of you say, no, the heaven I must go must be different from their own heaven. Even if that's if they make heaven at all. Their own hell, the bonus part of hell, that's where they must go to. God will disappoint you. God wants all men to be and to come to. If you shut your heart towards them, God will raise another person. God will what? Raise another person who will believe him for their salvation. You have no right to condemn anybody to destruction. You have no right. God saved you. You weren't looking for God. He saved you. So, what makes you think you are more qualified? See, there are some 11th hour people that will come. Say 11th hour. 11th hour. Those ones, I fear them. 11th hour, brethren. You have borne the sun and the heat of the day and think that you have a choice path in eternity because of that. You get the same reward. I say you get what? Even your response is, that's the parable in John. He said, some have labored. We have entered into the labor so that both the planter and the reaper may rejoice together. You are not better if you're a reaper. You are not better if you're a planter. It's a privilege to be part of God's program. No matter where I occupy. Is what? It's a privilege to be part of God's program. You must enlarge your hearts. You've been in church 7 years. Then God brought a brother 1 year and he now proposed. He said, where is he coming from? To your local Loro. I know when God born again. Late Pastor Bimbo with the choir of blessed memory. She was the one that converted the husband. Years later, he became a husband. He became the presiding bishop of the church. But some of us, God will readjust. I love that song. God will crumble some idols, some perspective in our minds that makes us to miss God. She wasn't doing evangelism. She was just doing witnessing Jesus. Sincerely, she wasn't looking for husband. She was just serving God. But part of the people she ministered to, later, became her husband. And the man outgrew her. Not because he wasn't growing, but because he had an accelerated, gracious ascension in light. God get doing so. God get what? Doings. God get doings. So be coming down. Know that it is not only you God loves. God loves everybody. Including the person who don't prepare you. Say that. He said, including the person who prepare me, God love him. Talk him with your mouth. God love him. So he won't die by fire. He will live by fire. Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? Say amen. You see, what we are doing is actually retraining you, giving you another sense. Giving you what? Another sense. That's what the discipleship does. I looked at the people that God brought to David and how God trained them under the oversight of David. Bible said David led Israel with the integrity of his heart and what? The skillfulness of his heart. So, art lo fi lead Israel before skill. I looked at all of the people that came to him and how they ended up. Debtors, societal rejects, discontent people turned out to be what? Mighty men of David. Say mighty men. Some of them were so valiant that by the time it was recorded of them, they almost did more exploits than David. Let's see 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21 from verse 17. 2 Samuel 21. No, go back to 1 Samuel where you read now. First Samuel 22 said, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves together unto him. And he became what? A captain over them. And there were with him about what? 400 men. Now go to 2 Samuel chapter 21. Start from verse 16 thereabout. Verse 15, sorry. Yes. He said, moreover, the Philistines had yet another war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed what? David waxed faint. Uh-huh. And Ishbi-benob, which was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear was 300 shekels of brass in weight. He, being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt no more go out with us to battle. that thou quench not the light of Israel. Don't go again to battle with us. Because they realized that it was the light of Israel. And if they quench him, the strength they had was flowing from him. Grace me. Even when he was weak, his existence and his... You see, God will give us younger ones sense. You think that it is your standing that makes something stand. No, grace me. It's been under alignment. I tell you, this church is not because of Pastor Laide. Something is flowing from top. If I presume to think that, oh, I was what they sent to Ikorodu, and it was me that labor. Irony. It's satani. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The existence of the head, grace is flowing down once there is alignment. So this man recognized that David is the light of Israel. If anything happens to him, every one of us, our strength departs from us. Why? That man is a house. That man is what? House. Everything. What is? Moses just stood upon the mountain and lifted up his hand. Joshua was winning war down. When Moses brought out his hand, they prevailed. When he raised up his hand, they prevailed. Now, Moses was not fighting the battle. It was Joshua. But the grace for the victory was sustained by somebody's hand. By the time Aaron and Ur lifted up his hand, they sustained the victory till the victory was rough. They sustained the victory, what? Till the sun going down. Hallelujah. And it came to pass that Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he laid down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were what? Heavy. Even when your leader is weak, don't despise grace. Because sometimes heaven sets you up by making the leader weak in your presence. That was the danger of Ham. He saw Noah drunk and uncovered. And then mocked the father in his heart. Then told the brother. Then the brethren went back and covered it. You must learn wisdom to cover. You must learn wisdom to what? Cover. Cover. They walked back forward and covered. So Abishai, you see, that's why you see something about Abishai later, which I will show us. Abishai, son of Zeruiah, who called him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Note that word, Abishai. Then the men of David tried saying, thou shalt no more go to war. Let's not quench the light of Israel. Let's read down. We are reading throughout the chapter. And it came to pass after this that there was a giant, again, a battle, with the Philistines at Gob. And Shebekiah, the Ushtetite, slew Seth, which was of the sons of the giants. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elana, the son of Jerogim, the Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, whose spear was like what? Go down. And yet, there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every toe 6 toes, 24 in number. He also was what? Born to the giant. Is that the end? And when he had defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of his. Now, David slew Goliath. It was the men of David that slew other giants. Are you understanding what I'm saying? David slew what? But there were other giants to be slain. There are other giants to be what? Slain. Now, it is discipleship that raises you to become a giant slayer. Are you understanding what I'm saying? To become what? A giant slayer. The wisdom, the skill, the art. As you will see, let's go to chapter 23, 2 Samuel. I want to just show us. I'm not going to take time too much this morning. Chapter 23, 2 Samuel. This be the name of the mighty man which David had. I want us to read. The Tekoite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Ezonite. He lifted up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, son of Dodo the Harite, one of the three mighty men of David. When they defied the Philistines that were there, gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistine until his hand was weary and his hand cleaved to the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil one man. And after him was Shema, the son of Agee the Ararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And three of the chief went down and came to David in the harvest at the time of the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the waters of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men that have went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. And Abishai, say Abishai, the same Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among the three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them and had a name among the three. Was he not most honorable of the three? Therefore, he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not unto the first three. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit. In a time of snow. When it's a pit, no escape. It's either you die or I die. Only him. Now, two lion-like men. Let's leave those one for now. He slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. But he went out with him with a staff. And he plucked the spear out of the hand of the Egyptian and slew him with his own spear. These tidings did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had a name among the three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not unto the first three. And David set him over his guard. Then Asher, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Elana, the son of Dodo, the Bethlehemite. The Shammah, the Harodite. Elkah, the Harodite. Elez, the Peltite. Ira, the son of Iskesh, the Tekoite. Abiezer, the Antotite. Mebunai, the Ushite. Yes? Yes. All the names of... Yes, I know. Zalmon the Harad, Mara the... Now, before I even read all their name, of course, he went down to Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. Now, David made all his men mighty men, but one set of people troubled him. The sons of what? The sons of Zariah troubled David, gave David a heart. Out of the three of them, two made it, but the chief and the big brother of them all, Joab, did not make this list. Thank you. 2 Samuel chapter 3. Verse 39. He said the same thing. He said something similar in chapter 16 and chapter 19 of the same 2 Samuel. Just go back to chapter 3 first. He said, David said, I am this. Can we read this? Though anointed what? King. And this man, the sons of what? They be too what? They be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward what? Now, what happened? Go to 37. 37. Now, they had just what? Killed Abner, the captain of Saul's army. He was serving his master. And he had surrendered, wanting to come and form alliance with David. But the sons of Zariah, particularly Joab, felt that because he was a threat to his position. Now, David was a merciful, forgiving person. But the sons of, particularly Joab, did not learn that. They did not. There were things. He learned skill, but he didn't learn the art. He didn't what? He didn't learn the art. The art. So what made the mighty men, were not primarily their skill. It was their heart. Are you understanding? It was their heart. Two things made David David. The first thing is his heart before his skill. Because tell me which skill, what skill will he have used to kill Goliath? What killed Goliath was not a stone, no. It was heaven. I heard a preacher when I was young. He said, David rode on the wings of prophetic alignment. Are you understanding? Because what they said anybody that blasphemed the Lord should be, in numbers, should be taken out of the city and stoned to death. So when Goliath came and was blaspheming the name of the Lord, he knows that spear and sword could not kill him. What you use to keep a blasphemer is actually stone. So he picked a stone. He was just walking prophecy. So when he threw stone, it was the wings of the word he was riding on. Tell me, let them throw the stone that you put in the sling, let them throw it and with a man that is wearing helmet, you will not even fall down. For a man Goliath size, he defied every physics that a stone should crack his skull and then bring him down. He defied every physics. So, what killed Goliath was not as much as, yes, he had killed a bear, he had killed a lion, but the guy was riding on the wings of grace. I said, God will make your little effort more than enough. That's why we don't succeed by also. We don't what? It's not, we walk. But God blesses our work. There's what they call the blessing of God. He said, that is what maketh rich. And added what? That's why he said, don't desire to be rich. Oh. Don't labor. Labor not to be rich. Cease from your own works. That is in Proverbs like that. Can you give me the passage? He said, labor not to be rich. Are you see? Cease from thy own what? You see, this also spirit is not gracious. Oh. Obey God. Say, obey God. Follow Jesus. Then he will instruct you. I'm not saying just go to church. Because that's another one. Just then believe that God will just... No. You walk. You walk. But you are not hustling. You are following instruction. You are following God's direction. And then heaven will ride upon it. Heaven will make little effort. The efforts that... Because you are riding on the wings of obedience. Are you understanding? You are riding on the wings of instruction. You are riding on the wings of divine guidance. You are riding on the wings of divine guidance. It's not your effort. It says, cease from your own wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on upon your own understanding. In all your ways, what? And he shall direct your path. There was something that they should learn from David. They didn't learn it. He said, these men are too hard for me. Though I am king. Ah! May your pastor not say that over you. Say, hey! Shade. Ah! Oh boy, you need pami. Some of us, we are stronger than our parents. I mean, biological parents. Or what is so about? Ah. I know a child, or I'm aware that the parents were thinking of running away from the house. They built the house. So. They built the house, but they are thinking of running away from the house. To, if possible, go and rent a place for, because this boy will beat the mother. Take the food that he and then take it. And, they can't do any business, because if they do any business, they will collect the money. And they have done that many, many times. Some of us, may you not be that kind of a child. And if you are that kind of child, God will bring you to repentance today. He said, the sons of Zerah, he said, they are too hard for me. Add nuts to crack. Add soul to change. Add soul to convert. To convert. Now, many has been converted. But these ones, they are skilled though. But they love death. Get me chapter 16. When Shimei was cursing David. What verse is that? Quickly. Yes, thank you. And when David came out from Burim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. He was cursing the king. Proverbs said, curse not the king, not even in thy chamber. But he was cursing the king to his face. And he casted stones at David and at all the servants of David, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Then thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou son of Belial. He was talking to the king. The Lord had returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. The thing they pay now. Because what's your own politics? He was an ally of PDP. Now, APC has come into power. Because when you are related to the king, your portion is secure. You get a portion of the mass on the king's table. He was a Benjamite. Then the house of Saul had been removed. Then he said, the Lord was charging David. You see, some of you believe that everybody should believe in you when God has appointed you. Because your rising is the fall of some other persons. Are you understanding? And that doesn't mean they will believe in you. But that does not give you right to be angry with them. Look at David. He said, in whose head do you say, and the Lord had delivered the kingdom into the hands of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief. Thou art a bloody man. Look at the next statement. And then said Abishai, the son of what? Zeruiah, told the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Let me go over him, I pray, and take off. Let me go over him. What? Look at David's response. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye what? Sons of Zeruiah. So let him curse. Because the Lord had said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, whereof hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth out of my own bowels, seeketh my life. How much more this Benjamin do it? Let him alone. Let him curse. For the Lord hath what? It may be that the Lord will look upon my affliction and the Lord will requite me for good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by, Shimei went on along the hillside over against him and cursed as he went on and threw stones and cast dust. He didn't do it. He did not what? He didn't raise a hand. Chapter 19. And it was told Joab that the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom, that after Joab killed Absalom against the instruction of the king, David has said, spare the young man. Joab went ahead and killed him. And the king wept and mourned for Absalom. Look at what happened. Look at how Joab addressed the king. Verse 2. Okay. Joab came into the house of the king and said, thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life. And the life of thy sons and daughters, and the lives of thy wives, and the lives of thy concubines. In that thou lovest thy what? And what? For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived, and we had all we had died this day, it had pleased thee. You know, Absalom said the truth. Because the same thing Jesus said. He said, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repent than many that does not need repentance. They have been saved. It's well with you. But this one, this soul, now that's the heart of a redeemer. That's the heart of what? That's the heart of a savior. That you, your heart is right. Even if you die in battle, Your lot is not your life in the flesh. Is that your soul has secured an estate that cannot be taken away. That's why Paul said, for me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. For the believer, death is not loss. is security. Are you understanding what I'm saying? For the what? For the one who is walking in righteousness, death is not loss. Death is gain. It is you that miss them. Are you understanding? It is you that count it a loss to you. But they are heaven's gain. Their soul has actually gained something. Why? They have secured an estate that cannot be changed for life. You, your own is under probability. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see, your own is what? So for me to live is Christ. Meaning that if I live, it's more labor in flesh. Then I still have cause to hold on to Christ while I live. So if they are died, really, and their soul, your soul is fine. But this one that is in error, if he dies, he perish eternally. If he dies in his sin, he perish eternally. You see, why God can give up the life of a believer for an unbeliever? Didn't get that. Not that it is his pleasure. But he can give the just for the unjust. Why? The just he has gained him. But the unjust, he can lose him and lose him perpetually. Now, it is when you begin to think as a savior that you reason like this. But Joab hated that reasoning. Joab what? And the reason he hated it is because of his estate. He was carnal. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is something that is here that is more real to him than there. David was living for there. Joab was living for here. So all of the time of following David, that reality didn't, he wasn't converted. He wasn't what? There was no conversion. There was no conversion. Anything that threatens our natural, we eliminate. Anything that threatens what? That's how some believers are. You threaten my business, I eliminate you. You threaten my comfort, I eliminate you. You don't even know. You are not concerned about heaven's gain. You are not concerned about what? Heaven's gain. The investment of the Lord. The investment of man. As long as it's profitable to me. Let's see David's response. David's comment about the sons of Zeruiah here. Quickly. The same chapter 19. Abishai, son of Zeruiah, answered, shall not Shemaiah be put to death for this? For he caused the Lord's anointed. Verse 22. And David said, what have I to do with ye sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there be any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? Must I go looking for how to kill and avenge somebody for what he has done wrong? No, David was not being a weakling. He was walking in judgment. What I'm saying is this. We must learn judgment too. You must what? You must learn judgment at every level. The judgment you refuse to learn is also the birth you refuse to be birthed. Do you get what I'm saying? Because that judgment, the use of it will birth you again. Just like Paul said concerning Timothy. We read concerning Timothy. Timothy was a disciple. Acts 16. Right? Acts 16, chapter 1. Verse 1, sorry. Acts 16. Acts 16. And then he came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple named what? Timotheus, the son of a certain woman. We'll learn the name of the woman later. Lois, grandmother Eunice, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a what? So Timothy was a disciple. But by 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. Unto Timothy, my own son. Say, my own son. My own son. From being a disciple, he had become a son. He had become what? If he's a son, then he's begot. He's begot. How was he begot? By the word of truth. Of his own will. James chapter 1 verse 7. Of his own will begat he us by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Hallelujah. So if there is a begatting, then there is a word involved. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If there's a what? Begatting, there is what? A word. The same thing is said concerning Titus. My own son, after the common faith which we believe. Titus chapter 1. The same thing. So you see birth. Say amen. That a person who begins following the word is exposed to another economy of the word. And then serves under the same economy of the world. Because it's not just word that makes you a son. It's son and son. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 was saying, you know the proof of him. That as a son with a what? Father. He has served with me in the ministry. In the gospel. Hallelujah. Say amen. So, they gave a word. Then they use the same dispensation of the word to live or to do service. A dispensation of the word was brought, and then they used the same dispensation to do service or to live. And he became a son, meaning that he inherited that dispensation that God gave to Paul. That is how we are born into the different names. Are you understanding? Say amen. You know, Matthew chapter 28. Remember, don't forget our anchor scriptures. He said, make disciples or teach all nations. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name. We said, disciple, you have to actually immerse in the names. And that immersion is actually word and service. Or there's a declaration of, there's the bringing of the word. And then there is the using to live. That using to live. Say, he has served with me in the gospel. He's not just doing ministry around. It is, they did service by serving the life in the word. By doing what? Serving the life in the world. Being obedient to the life that is in the world. He said, it's my own son. It's my own son. I begot him by the gospel. Hallelujah. I begot him what? By the gospel. I begot him by the gospel. I begot him by the gospel. I begot him by the gospel. So a person can be begotten by the gospel of Christ. Amen? A person can be begotten of the gospel of everlasting life. Just like Paul was talking about the Galatian church, whom he traveled, my little children, or whom I travel again in what? In bed. Until what? Christ begot be formed in you. For the Corinthian church, he was saying that you may have 10,000 instructors, but you have not what? Many fathers. For in the gospel, I begat you. Let's see Galatians, I mean 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You can have 10,000. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not what? Many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through. Say through. Through the gospel. I begat you through the gospel. That begat is a baptism. Are you understanding? It's a baptism, immersion. Say baptism. Look at the technology of baptism. The technology of baptism is that a old person is here. You immerse him, and then he arises a new person. It's the same technology of death and resurrection. That's in Romans chapter 6. So when a person is baptized, he is born. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When a person is what? Baptized. Is what? Born. That is what discipleship does. You are immersed into a new life that you didn't know before. By the time you are raised, you have become a changed person. You have become what? A changed person. You are, your personality is altered. Now, the season or the time of immersion may not be instant as they do in water baptism. You know, water baptism is indicative. By the time the process, God can submerge you into a process that is a baptism for 4-7 years. And that 7 years is actually an immersion for you to use the life of a gospel to live. Are you understanding? Whereby the expectations of God for you for that season is Christ. Are you understanding? God will be judging. God will be reproving your conscience with the light of Christ, because he has brought the light of Christ to you. Subject you to a season of strong immersion. Under oversight. By the time you finish, somebody, a new man is born. It's not you that entered the season 7 years ago. It's not the same you that have come out of it. Your person has been what? Altered. They've broken some wings. They've removed some judgments. Some ways they've deleted it. Some attitude of the soul, they've expunged it. A new man has come out. Not the new man. Are you understanding? But a new person. A new person. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's see Colossians chapter 3 verse 10. And then we'll see 2 Corinthians. Amen. Are we blessed today? You see, change. God wants our change. It's a process that leads to it. Say, can we read together, church? One more time, please. So, look, he said, we've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image. So, the new man, which we have in our spirit, is not our final destination. That new man changes image. Say, changes what? Now, if you are a new creation person, this is for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, go to 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a what? All things are passed. And we agree, you're a new creature. But the new creature is supposed to evolve. The new creature is supposed to do what? It's supposed to evolve. It's a metamorphosis. Say metamorphosis. There is a metamorphosis. That's what they said in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the message of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice, only acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. And be not what? Conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. Say transformed. Say transformation. Say formation. Say transform. Say form. Say form. Trans. Lord Jesus, help me with this. Say, that transformed is two words. Trans. From the word transcendent. Means the same word, the same prefix, which is transport. Trans, that is movement from one place to another. Are you understanding? That's where they get transgender also. That there is translocation. Trans. So when you talk trans, T, not a C E, I mean trans, T R A N S. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Meaning that there is a movement. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So when I say transformed, that means you are moving from formation to formation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You are moving from what? Formation to formation. And that formation, those formations are images. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Say, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect. So put Colossians, if you can divide it, put Colossians 3:10. Hallelujah. Oh, Danata. We can't put three scriptures. But I want to do a quick analysis. I want to do a quick juxtaposition. So you see, let's see Romans chapter 8 first. Romans chapter 8. Then we'll see 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18. Amen. See Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, that is verse 29, 30, 30. Let's see 30. Romans chapter 8. What about, yes, 29 and 30. He said, for whom he did what? Say, for no. He did what? Predestinate. To be what? Conformed to the image. Say to the image. To the image. He, whom he did he did predestinate. To be conformed. Say formation. So, the destiny that God prepared for you is to conform. Now, they use another prefix to formation here. Say con. Say con. Con. Con is, the prefix con is to adapt to something. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, you have many, many con words. Confer. Configuration. Are you understanding it? So, it's to adapt to something. So, conformed. Conform is to make the image in the exact same replica. Where transformation talks about the movement. Conformation talks about the specification in quality. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, he said that you may be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Then he answered, moreover, whom he did he predestinate, he also called, those who be called, he justified, them he justified, he also glorified. Now, let's see 2 Corinthians 3:18. He said, now, but we are with what? Open face, beholding as what? The glory of the Lord. Are being what? Into what? From. Hold on. So that means the image is changing. Then I say, your new man is supposed to be changing as his image is changing. So you know that the new man is not the final destination. Are you seeing it? Not everybody is answering me. The new man is not what? The new man is changing. How is he changing? He's renewed in knowledge after the image of he that created him. Colossians. It's changing. So, you see, the process of changing, there are images in my soul that I need to shed. I love the word from glory to glory. We are changed. We all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of God, are being changed from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of God is engineering conformity, is engineering transformation. All conformation, transformation is altogether the process of formation to ensure both the movement and the guarantee of quality of the person I'm supposed to resemble. Are you understanding? To ensure the what? Movement and the quality, the substance of the person I am supposed to resemble. Say amen. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. We are with unveiled faces. When I said that, I said something when we started this series. I said baptism or discipleship is supposed to take us from the name of the Holy Ghost to the name of the Father. Right? And we see the conduit, how this thing works, that baptism is actually giving us images or making us to be born. It's actually birthing us after the order of every word or every dispensation of the name or every word that God brings. Not just the declaration, but the immersion in the life. Immersion in the life. Meaning that they subject you to the life of every word till image is formed. Till what? I know you like it, right? Hallelujah. Don't mind me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, they are the ones that used to check us when we get home. Last week she told me, that your message, I didn't feel it too much. I had to explain. So you know that pastor has to give accounts. Pastor has to what? If you are not, if you come and say, now people will tell you that you preach well. Ah, you blessed me. But the real examiner is at. Even before the Lord gives his own verdict, they will help you to score your mark. They would help you to know whether what you preach, whether it was relevant to the flock, or you just preach to yourself, you preach yourself happy. Hallelujah. Can we ever appreciate this wonderful woman? Hope I'm doing well. Hope I will get a pass mark today. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't worry. I know I will get. I know what I will do to get good mark. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, family life is beautiful. Hallelujah. If you are not married, you're a young man. Go and prepare to get married, though. Let me tell every young man near you that is not married. Tell them, you not married? I don't trust your faith. I don't trust your faith if you never marry. You say, go and manage a wife. Go and manage a wife. Yes. You know, traditionally, they say you are not responsible until you have a wife. Until you marry, before you know that how true that statement is. Amen. Amen. I'm not saying that every single person is not responsible. You can be responsible. Come and be responsible at another level. Amen. Come and be what? I'm not talking to you people in school. Go and focus on your academics. Hallelujah. Go and focus on what? Yeah. If you tell me that you are receiving anything, don't let me say anything. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We will have solid, beautiful families in Ikorodu. Ah, Satan has done overwork over families in this land. Overwork. And everybody that is in this land that is holding a family strong, can we appreciate them? I tell you, even if you are not a believer, you are fighting. There are certain places. Husbands, wife. Husbands, please don't joke with your wife. Wife, don't joke with your parents. Children, don't judge or criticize your parents. Some of the warfare that some of them face, if you face one thousandth of it, you will not survive. Sincerely. There's serious warfare. And we should not complicate things with unguarded words. Are you understand what I'm saying? We should not what? Complicate things with unguarded words. Unguarded words. You know, Kenneth Hagin said something concerning a minister that fell into immorality. And people were talking about him. And Jesus came to him and said, don't do that. He said, if you were in his shoes, you would have done worse. Usually, we don't know the battles that people face until maybe they slipped. And then they fell into something that is not comely. I'm not saying that we are encouraging anything that is bad. But don't be critical of people that you don't understand. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Don't be what? One thing I've even learned, sir, is that what you think a truly spiritual person is meek towards those that are sin or are out of the way. Is that if any man sin, those that are spiritual should what? Restore such a one in meekness. In meekness, so that you yourself, you are not tempted. But when you see that you are critical of something, you yourself, you soon fall into that thing. I've seen, as a pastor over many years, I've seen it happen again and again. That the person that running the mouth like water. Just say a few years down the line. The same thing, the Lord will put because when you do so, they remove grace. You show that you can do it by your own strength. That's what you say. So let's be careful. I'm not saying that things are happening in this place and then it takes a whole lot of warfare. Pray. If you can't see anything, pray. Say pray. Pray. If you don't know what to say, just pray. Say, God, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. It's better than running your mouth. Younger ones, don't criticize your parents. Don't criticize your parents. Some of the warfare's you can't explain. You cannot, even if they try to tell you the story, you cannot imagine it. Don't criticize. If you have criticized, ask for forgiveness. If you can sit talk to them, ask for their forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness from the Lord and put your mouth. David said, I won't exercise myself in matters that are higher than me. Are you understand it? And those of us that are in it, fight. Say, what I say? Fight. Fight to hold on to your spouse. Fight to support your spouse. Fight. Know that what is pulling you apart is Satan. It's Satan. It's not your spouse. It's Satan. Satan will lie, accuse your spouse to you, lie to you, incite you. Just to break that institution. War. I tell you, war. It may not be easy, but war. War to believe. War to believe the best of your spouse. Even when they are their worst. How many of us have seen Fireproof? Fireproof, the movie. Is by the Kendricks brothers. They're like the Mount Zion of the United States. Hallelujah. And that movie, I recommend it for you. One of the things they said in that fireproof is that never leave your partner, especially in the midst of the fire. Especially in the midst of the fire. That's when you hold on to your partner the most. Never leave your partner, especially in the midst of the fire. It's when things get tough, they say, the tough gets going. Please. I don't know what family I'm talking to this morning, but whatsoever it is that you are going through that may look like a challenge, stay with your partner. Fight together. Don't fight your partner. Fight together with your partner. Fight to stay in covenant with your partner. With your husband and with your wife. Fight. Fight to keep the covenant of the youth. With a lot of forgiveness. No, know that you yourself, you are imperfect. And so you must be merciful, tender towards somebody else's failings. Love, they say, covers a multitude of sin. Are you understanding me? Are you understanding me? I don't expect younger people to be talking, but I believe that you are talking in hope into the future. Amen. Fight. Fight to hold your vows. Fight. Fight. If fight to not to stray, not even in your hearts. You know, some people are in the marriage, but in their hearts, they've gone. What a waka. They've gone. It's their body that is just here, but they've gone. You should be present. Spirit, soul, body, finances, everything. Present. Be present in the marriage. Be present in the union. Be present. The grass is not greener on the other side. Let me tell a married person. The grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is not. You know, a lot. He looked, lifted up his eye. He saw the plains of Sodom. And they were what? Like the garden of. One chance. May you not enter what? One chance. The grass is not. If it looks greener, it's because somebody else is watering it. If you see the lawn of somebody else that is well mowed, it's because somebody is keeping it. Somebody is laboring over it. Labor over your own, you have the same results. Labor over what? Labor, keep your garden. Build the fence. Throw out the foxes. And then you have grapes from your vine. Are you understanding me? Many people, sorry, I don't know. I think I'm just overtaking of the Lord. I didn't plan to come here. But I say, many people are not willing to put in the work to make it work. They just go, Pastor is not working. Pastor, I don't understand again. Pastor, make it work. Make it work. Go on your knee, make it work. Walk in love. Make it work. Pay. Make the sacrifice. Make it work. Make it work. Learn. Unlearn. Relearn. Make it work. Be meek. I can't take it anymore. So what can you? Who should take it? Who should take it? When you saw. This is not what I bargained for. You forgot that when you bought the land, you bought the whole field. You see, remember the parable of the scriptures. The kingdom of God is like a man that went into, saw a treasure in a field, then sold everything he had and did what? Is it the treasure he bought? He bought the whole land. Go and ask the people that hunt for treasure. It's not. The amount of debt you get before you get gold is more than the gold. You can get one nugget of gold like this in a whole space that you dig just to find one gold. But when you find the gold, it's worth it. So to find a treasure in your spouse, you may have to wait through many yama. But the issue is that when you find the gold, it's worth it. It's worth it. That's the parable of the kingdom. But you don't want to, you don't want to, hey, I like a stainless. No, this is not what I bargained for. Yeah. If you see any marriage, the people they make and walk. There's no, this is a marriage man in them all. My own voice. That's not how to make it work. Somebody made it work behind. Forget Instagram. Forget picture perfect. Many forgivings. Many travails in prayer. Many obedience to the word. Many love commandments. Many no evil speaking. Many no thinking of evil. Are you understanding? Many, countless times. If you ask any wife, yeah, any husband, how many times have you forgiven your wife in the last 1 week? That's the practice in marriage. People make it work. I wish I had married her. I wish he was my husband. Oh, I wish. You've made your choice. Make it work. Say you've made your choice. Make it work. Yes. Make it work. And the beautiful thing is this. Marriage thrives on at least, not my word, at least the effort of one person. Now, it thrives when two of them are committed, but it requires a minimum of at least one person. So when a team breaks down, it is not one person's fault. It is never one person's fault. If you ever see something break down, I've told younger people, don't go and dabble into the issue between your daddy and your mother. The issue that is between them is older than you. And don't think that you have enough wisdom to go and resolve it. Sometimes, mommies will talk to you and want to win you to your own side. Then daddy will talk to you and want to win you to their own side. And then you are fighting. Who will you be loyal to? Be loyal to Jesus. And follow your future. Are you understanding me? Be loyal to what? And follow the plan of God for your future. You were not there when they said they love themselves. You were not there when they fought. Or when anything happened. Pray for them and follow God's plan. You tell them like your president. I'm for nobody, but I'm for everybody. Eh? I'm for what? But I'm for what? No, I'm not telling you what I didn't do. That's what the same day I did. You have to be wise. Sorry, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm just. I believe I'm giving somebody counsel. You have to be wise, especially because some of us have seen things. Maybe you're not privileged to come from a home where the marriage was so stable. You must be wise. Don't be critical of anybody. Forgive every one of them. But follow Jesus. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You can pray for them. You can pray for the restoration. But follow Jesus. Are you understanding? Follow Jesus. If God works it, that they both are willing and then things happen. To God be all the glory. And if not, to God be all the glory. Are you understanding what I'm saying? To God be all the glory. Hallelujah. Have I helped somebody small today? Amen. Say amen. Say amen.
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.